यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावन चारे जय जय राधा जय जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारे हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 जयो राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे राधे ओ जय जय राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे जय श्री गोपाल श्री गोपाल जय श्री गोपाल जय जय हो प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतस्य श्रीमद्देवेन्द्रेश एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शल प्रभुपाद की जय जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतस्य श्रीमद्देवेन्द्र भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्री प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुत तो जय मुदीरये। नष्ट प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती रुतव श्लोके भक्ति भवति नेस्तिते। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिनि गौरतुषे नमः। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12th, Chapter 3, text number 5th to 8th. Text number 8th.
Mamai veyam nahi Krishna. Nate mudheti vevadinaha. Spardhamana mithognati mriyante matkrute nripaha mamaiveyam mahi krishna nate mudheti vadinaha spardhamana mithognanti mriyante matkrute nripaha mamaiveyam mahi krishna nate mudheti vadinaha spardhamana mithognanti mriyante matkrute nripaha
Translation purported by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. Political leaders challenge one another. All this land is mine. It's not yours, you fool. Thus they attack one another and die. Purport. This verse describes with brilliant clarity the mundane political mentality that provokes innumerable conflicts in the world. For example, as we prepare this translation of Srimad Bhagavatam, British and Argentine military forces are bitterly fighting over the tiny Falkland Islands. The fact is that the Supreme Lord is the proprietor of all land. Of course, even in a God-conscious world, political boundaries exist. But in such God-conscious atmosphere, political tensions are greatly eased, and the people of all lands welcome each other and respect each other's right to live in the peace. We'll also read the translation of the previous verses. Text number 6. O best of the Kurus, the earth continued as follows. Although in the past, great men and their descendants have left me, departing from the world in the same hopeless way they came into it. Even today, foolish men are trying to conquer me. Text 7. For the sake of conquering me, materialistic we persons fight one another. Fathers oppose their sons and brothers fight with another. Because their hearts are bound to possessing
political power. Mm-hmm. A very beautiful purport. Here Mother Earth is explaining the precarious condition of the conditioned soul. They all want to possess and control over this material nature. Everyone wants the tract of land or piece of land. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes one of his bhajan.
Sit atapa bat barishana ye dil jamini jagire kamal dal jala jivan tala mala kamal dal jala jivan tala mala bhajahu hari pada niti re abhaya charana rabindare.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, all these positions, material wealth, is all temporary, like water droplets remains on the lotus petals. How long the water petals or water droplets can remain on the lotus petals? Very short time. So similarly, even though we may have great wealth and prosperity, it's all temporary. We must understand, every one of us, every living entity is born naked in this world. We are not brought anything with us when we are born. We were naked. Whatever we are and whatever we have now, it's all accumulated from this world. No one, whether it's a scientist or a poor beggar or an illiterate or a fabulously rich emperor, everyone is born naked. Whatever they have, it's all acquired here. Everyone in this world is born stupid. No one can say, oh, I brought my intelligence and then I have this knowledge and that knowledge from my previous this birth. No, sir. You may have some karmas, but in this world, everyone is born stupid. You have to begin again from the LKG or lower LKG and then finally acquire all these degrees. Everyone in this world is born as a lump of flesh. In the beginning, we had no strength, no power. Now whatever strength and power we have is all given by material nature. So, we began our journey with zero. And we'll end our journey with zero. Whoever we are, this is the destination of everyone. We began our journey with zero and we'll also end our journey with zero. So therefore, what is there to be proud of? So why should we be just attached to this material wealth and the prestige and the power which will remain with us only for a short period of time? One of the saintly person writes,
वो कहा गए बलवान जिन पर धरती तो लड़िया.
Amazing line. He says,
वो कहा गए बलवान जिन पर धरती तो लड़िया जिनकी पड़ती धाक नहीं कोई शामी तो लड़िया निर्भय हो के तो लड़िया फिर नहीं पाएगा दो दिन की जिंदगी है दो दिन का मेला.
वो कहां गए बलवान. They were the most powerful emperors. They had conquered practically, you know, whole world. Alexander, Radhaditya Babu yesterday mentioned so many warriors, Hitler, Mussolini, and
So we have seen in the past, in the history, the Mughal emperors, the Mughal empire, the British empire, the Roman empire, when they were ruling, they were convinced that this whole land is ours, it belongs to us. But Bhumi Mata says, Mother Earth says, you stupid, you are here only for some time. There were in the past like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha and Ravana, Kumbhakarna, they were billion times more powerful than you. And they are now the part of this earth, dust particle. And all these great warriors and emperors, they are not even now dust. They are all evaporated, even their dust also is evaporated. So, therefore, it's all depend on our choices. Hiranyakashipu, he had a power, but he misused his intelligence. And same hand, we have Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, although was a tiny, small child, but he used his intelligence and surrendered to Krishna's lotus feet. The result is, he was delivered. He became a pure devotee of Krishna and went back to the spiritual world. So now, we have a choice. Either to fight with the material nature or surrender, become humble and surrender to Krishna's lotus feet. Just like a flood, during the rainy season, the river's beds are full with water. And sometimes the river's current is so strong. Big, big giant trees, they don't want to give way to the water current. So water uproots them. The powerful current uproots the trees. But at the same place, we'll find small grasses. When the powerful current approaches them, they just bow their head, remain humble for some time. And after some time, the current goes away. And then again they become as natural, you know, as usual before. So similarly, we have this short life. Within this lifetime, if we use our free will and surrender to Krishna's lotus feet, then our life is perfect. God is very merciful. Krishna is very merciful. He is ready to forgive everyone, provided we surrender to His lotus feet. And Sri Radha, she is a compassion personification. Krishna is very merciful, and that mercy or compassion is personified as Sri Radha. So after 2 days, we'll celebrate the divine appearance of Sri Radha. So let us prepare our consciousness by diving into the divine lotus or divine leelas of Sri Radha.
Atmendriya priti vancha tarabale kam Krishnendriya priti vancha dhare premanam.
When we put any efforts to satisfy our senses, that is called lust. And when we put our effort to satisfy Krishna's senses, that is called love. Activities are same, only the purpose behind it is different. So, Krishna is Atmaram. He does not need anyone's help to become happy. He is Atmaram. No one can help him in his enjoyment. No one can disturb him in his enjoyment. There were many demons. They tried to disturb Krishna. Kamsa would send different demons in Vrindavan to disturb Krishna's leela. But Krishna says, I am Atmaram, no one can disturb me. So when the demons would come in Vrindavan, Krishna would kill them effortlessly. And in that activity, Krishna's appetite would increase. And he would eat sumptuous prasad with his devotees. So absolutely there was no disturbance. So Krishna neither needs our help, nor we can disturb in his enjoyment. So then, what is the hope for a conditioned soul? He does not need his Atmaram. So therefore, Sri Radha, she is a connecting bridge between Krishna and the living entities. Krishna is standing the other side of the river and we are here on these banks. How to contact him? We cannot directly approach Krishna. So therefore Sri Radha, out of her causeless mercy, she becomes the connecting bridge so that we can serve Krishna. Sri Radha, when someone wants to serve Krishna, Sri Radha, on behalf of the conditioned soul, she requests Krishna, "My dear Krishna, here is a devotee. This devotee is better than me. So please accept his or her service." Now Krishna knows that this stupid fellow, he is not qualified. But when Sri Radha makes that request, Krishna cannot deny. Krishna has to accept. Once Prabhupada was in one of the countries in the Western world, everyone was like a completely total different civilization. No connection with Radha Krishna and service. And Krishna, so Prabhupada saw beautiful deities of Radha and Krishna. So then Prabhupada, he started his lecture and he said, "Krishna is so merciful. He is accepting the service of all of us." And then Prabhupada immediately started crying. And then Prabhupada said, "Do not be puffed up. Don't think that you are trying to serve Krishna. Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, he is accepting our service. So therefore, become humble and try to serve Krishna." So these acharyas, these guru warriors, this parampara, they are the representative of Sri Radha's compassion, Sri Radha's mercy. When Srila Prabhupada at Gorakhpur, he was singing Jai Radha Madhav Kunja Bihari, and suddenly Prabhupada went in ecstasy. He was just quiet, didn't speak anything. He went in ecstasy, internal consciousness, for some minutes. And after some minutes he came back to his external consciousness. And all the devotees were asking Prabhupada, "What should we do when you go to the such a ecstasy?" And Prabhupada immediately said, "No, this doesn't happen to me with often. So just chant Hare Krishna, don't worry. Don't give much importance to this activity." So Prabhupada was such a cautious and very careful, because he knew the condition of the whole world, and therefore he wanted to give. He wanted to give that highest prema, that Radha prema, Krishna prema, but in a way where they can digest. Therefore, before even writing the commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada wrote Krishna book. Prabhupada said, "I don't know whether I'll live for some more years. Therefore, before even doing anything, I just want to give Krishna's lila in summary." So he gave Krishna book. So all his acharyas, they somehow they want to connect all the jivas to Krishna's mercy. So therefore we should learn that we can fly in the sky. Yes, you can relish Krishna's prem, Vrindavan prem. You can fly in the sky. But keep your feet on the ground. A few days back somebody gave an example of a kite. As you give more deal to the cow, the kites flies. But if kites cut off her relationship with the person who is operating her, then she is lost. So you can fly in the sky, but keep your feet on the ground. One time Radhana Swami Maharaj, he was speaking with a big scientist. He had done his PhD in Jiva Goswami's literatures. And he was discussing with Srila Radhana Swami Maharaj. And he said, "Swamiji, I don't understand why your Krishna is dancing with so many girls and others' wives." While speaking this, he was smoking cigarettes and drinking liquor. So Radhanath Maharaj very politely and smilingly said, "My dear sir, you have done your PhD but without entering into the LKG. So you don't even know what your lifestyle, your habits,
they don't match with the philosophy. So, similarly, we have to qualify ourselves first, just like a wooden spoon. Sometimes we use the wooden spoon for preparing sweet rice. That wooden spoon associates with the sweet rice for years and years and years. Associates with the sugar. It's so sweet. But if you try to taste this wooden spoon, it doesn't have any sweetness. Externally it was associating with the sweet, but it did not absorb the sweetness within. So similarly, when we have connection with the previous acharyas, those pure Bhagavatas, those who are representatives of Sri Radha, by hearing from them, by being and associating with them, then we can absorb that Krishna prema. So Sri Radhaji, she is a mine of divine qualities, and one of her quality is she is very humble. She is very loving and caring. The example is given. Recently we celebrate Jhulan Yatra. In the Jhulan Yatra, Sri Radha, she personally makes this arrangement that all the gopis are with Krishna. She personally arranges that each and every gopi sits with Krishna on the jhula. And she personally arranges the marriage of Lalita Devi with Krishna. So, she always thinks and she is convinced that everyone is better than me. Therefore, she is a leader. Taramadehema pitha astadale vestita astadale pradhana naika. Sri Radha in Vrindavan, she is surrounded by millions of gopis. It is mentioned that 21 billion gopis, not millions, 21 billion gopis, and those gopis were from the spiritual world, who were the eternal associates of Sri Radha. And other gopis who appeared in, or they took birth in Vrindavan from different planets, those who were the sadhakas in their previous life, they are different. These 21 billion gopis are directly from the spiritual world. She is surrounded by billions of such gopis, but she is a pradhana naika, because she has that loving, caring and humble mood. One time Bhakti Siddhanta says to Thakur Pada, he was giving a class and suddenly one person asked a question, Guru Maharaj, Sri Radha is worshipable, but how is that to be read in Srimad Bhagavatam during Rasa Leela? She became proud. Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur looked at him and he said, you are saying that Sri Radha became proud and therefore Krishna left her? It's wrong. Krishna did not leave Sri Radha. It is Sri Radha who left Krishna. Because when Sri Radha and Krishna were together and all the gopis were feeling separation from Krishna, Sri Radha thought in her mind that all these gopis, they are always with me in all circumstances, in every situation. At this choice occasion, I am with Krishna alone, and all these poor girls, they are feeling separation from Krishna. So therefore, she preferred to be with the gopis than with Krishna alone. And then externally she spoke such a words, some words, Krishna felt that she has become proud, and therefore Krishna left her. And Sri Radha became very happy when she saw, now Krishna left us, and then Sri Radha joined all other gopis. So this shows, externally what we read in Bhagavatam, that Sri Radha became proud and Krishna left her, it is not the case. Sri Radha wanted to be with gopis rather than being with Krishna alone. Therefore she showed such Leela. So, she is the leader of all the gopis. So, why Sri Radha is always with Krishna? You find that we all read in Bhagavatam and all the scriptures that Sri Radha and Krishna are enjoying. Or Acharya is right, when Radha and Krishna they are together, their enjoyment nourishes the conditioned souls. When Radha and Krishna are together, when they are enjoying, their enjoyment nourishes the other souls. For example, mother, she feeds her breast milk to her child, isn't it? So Krishna is a supreme father. Sri Radha is a supreme mother. And all the jivas, they are the children of Sri Radha. So children want the breast milk of a mother. They can be nourished and they can survive only on mother's breast milk. And how the mother will get the breast milk? How she will get milk in her body? She has to eat nutritious food. So when she is associating with Krishna, she gets that nutritious food and then she has the milk and all the jivas can survive by drinking that milk. Or Acharya gives another example. Rupa Goswami says, Krishna is like a strong, huge, blackish tree. Sri Radha is like a vine, is like a creeper, which has embraced Krishna very tightly, surrounding the whole tree. And all the jivas, the gopis and other jivas, they are like a flowers which are blossoming on that vine or a creeper. So the vine or a creeper, she gets the energy or a strength or a food from the tree, and all the flowers are blossomed by that vine. So in this way, if we read the Shastra scriptures carefully, we'll find that when Radha and Krishna are together, it is for the betterment of the conditioned souls. Sri Radha, she is like a crown of all the gopis. She is the best amongst all the gopis. She is like a Ketaki flower which grows in the garden of the gopis. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, Radha bhajane jadi mati nahi bhela, Radha bhajane jadi mati nahi bhela, Krishna bhajana tava akaran gela, Radha bhajane jadi. If someone wants to serve Krishna without taking the help of Sri Radha, his bhajana mati gela, his bhajan is not fruitful. Krishna will never be pleased if we don't approach Krishna through Sri Radha. And our acharyas gives beautiful, beautiful examples. Ata parohita suraj nahi jane, ata parohita, just like sun. Sun and sunshine, they are inseparable. We cannot separate sunshine from the sun. Ātaparohita suraj nahi jāni. So, without sun rays, there is no use of, or there is no existence of the sun. So similarly, without Sri Radha, Krishna alone, doesn't make any sense. Just like we cannot separate whiteness from the milk. We cannot separate white color from the milk. Milk and white color, they are inseparable. Similarly, Sri Radha and Krishna, they are inseparable. Just like a fire. Fire means heat. Fire has heat.
So heat and fire we cannot separate. We cannot separate Sri Radha and Krishna. Earth and its fragrance. Earth means it has a fragrance. Without fragrance there is no earth. Similarly, Krishna and Sri Radha. Just like a pot maker, without a clay, cannot produce any pots. So if he wants, the pot maker wants to produce some pots, he needs the clay. So similarly, without Sri Radha, Krishna has no existence. Just like a goldsmith, if he wants to make a golden ornament, he needs a gold. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate swabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. Krishna is energetic. Sri Radha is energy. So we cannot separate energy from energetic. Although natasya karyam, Krishna has no work. Swabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. All his leelas are happening spontaneously and naturally without any efforts. Just like if I get a scratch in my back, I don't have to make any plan. You know, oh, my right hand should go behind and start scratching. No, it happens naturally. So similarly, when Krishna, without even desire, he wants to perform some leela, and he has unlimited energies. And Sri Radha is the best and topmost, and she is the leader. She is the Alladhini potency of Krishna. So, swabhaviki jnana balakriyacha.
Kevalamadhava pujaye agyane. Kevalamadhava pujaye swagyane. Radhanadara karoye abhimani.
Kevalamadhava pujaye agyane. Those who are ignorant, those who don't know the scriptures, they will worship Krishna without Sri Radha. But those who are devotees of Sri Radha, they will never give up the lotus feet of Sri Radha. And one of the most beautiful quality of Sri Radha is, she is very merciful. She is karunamayi. So sometimes devotees, sadhakas, they get a doubt. I am performing bhakti since so many years. Still there are so many problems in my life. Does this bhakti process works? So Sri Radha is discussing with her gopi friends. And she says that most of the time devotees get that doubt. But they should know, bhakti process is meant for destroying all the troubles and problems of devotee's life. That is a bhakti process. And she gives a beautiful example. Just like a lion. Lion feeds on elephants. Elephant is a food of a lion. Elephant survives on eating elephants. Lions survive on eating elephants. So similarly, bhakti process is meant to destroy the problems and the miseries of a devotees. That is her food. It is the natural food of a devotional service. First, she destroys all the problems, and then bhakti gives and offers Krishna prema. Just like a lamp. Lamp eats darkness. Darkness is a food of a lamp. Lamp eats darkness, finishes all the darkness. Similarly, bhakti process, when a devotee starts performing bhakti without his or her knowledge, how Sri Radha removes their miseries and their problems, even we also don't understand that. Therefore, the gopis in the middle of the Rasa Lila, they say,
tava kathamritam tapta jivanam kavibhiriditam kalmashapaham. Shravanamangalam Srimadatatam Bhuvigrinantiye Bhuridajana.
Devotees must understand this shloka very carefully. The gopis, the highest of all the Vaishnavas, they are recommending, you are going through some problems in life, tava katha amritam tapta jivanam.
Everyone's life is tapta jivanam, suffering everywhere.
But the remedy is shravana mangalam. Hearing Krishna's beautiful glories, chanting Krishna's holy name, this is the only remedy in this material world and also spiritual world. If someone finds some artificial, some so-called solution, they are nonsense. Just like a lion feeds on elephants, only lion can kill elephants, no one else. Similarly, the problems which are occurring even today, only Krishna's holy name, Krishna's glories, and Srimad Bhagavatam and the bhakti process is the only remedy for solving all the problems. And if someone tries to give some other solutions, they are nonsense. Everything is nonsense. Srimad Bhagavatam, at least, the gopi Sri Radha says that. She is very merciful, compassionate. A beautiful example is always narrated. Just like there was a sea jackal in Vrindavan, all the Brijavasi kids, they were throwing stones and they were beating her. She was feeling with so much of pain. So Sri Radha, out of compassion and mercy, sent Sri Lalita and she brought her that jackal. Sri Radha not only removed her suffering, but offered her the beautiful position of her maid servant. She is very, very merciful. One of the beautiful qualities of Sri Radha is, she is very shy. Very beautiful quality, amazing. Sri Radha, although she is a supreme personality of Godhead, not different from Krishna, but she is very shy. She works so hard at Nanda Bhavan. She prepares all the bhogas, but she never comes in the front for serving the food. And Yashoda Mai is observing this. And after everyone finishes their prasad, Sri Radha even hesitates to eat prasad in Krishna's house. She is so shy. Yashoda Mai, she personally makes a seat on a vasasana, some asana, and she personally serves Sri Radha. And then Yashoda Mai says, please consider me as your mother. You are my daughter. She never says, you are my daughter-in-law. She says, you are my daughter. I am like your mother, Kirtida. So please feel free. Please eat sumptuous prasad at my house without any reservation. Please, play around my house, joke, lie down in my house. When Yashoda Mai speaks such words, it's amazing. Sri Radha feels immense pleasure because she wants to be with Yashoda Mai, with Krishna in that Nanda Bhavan palace. She never wants to leave that place. But she is very shy. And Yashoda Mai, it is mentioned in the Rupa Goswami writes, Yashoda Mai tells to Sri Radha, yes, it is very nice. All the cultured girls, they always feel, they are always very shy. Yashoda Mai tells this to Mother, to Sri Radha, that the cultured girls are always very shy. When Krishna every day goes to the morning pasturing ground for herding the cows, all the Brajavasis, they come to see him off. So they all gather around Krishna. In the first circle, the elderly gopas. The second circle, the elderly gopis. The third circle, the young gopas. The fourth circle, the young gopis. And in the last circle, Sri Radha personally stands. So when the time is for departing, so all the elderly gopas who are sitting in the first row, they just bow their head, they sit down. And the second row, the elderly gopis, they get Krishna's darshan. When they sit down, the third circle, the gopas, they get darshan of Krishna. And the fourth circle, the young gopis, they get darshan. When all of them are just bowing at the ground, then Sri Radha is fine because she is so shy. She always stands behind. Then she gets darshan of Krishna. And finally, Krishna moves to Vrindavan forest. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in the next stanza,
Umarama Satya Shachi Chandra Rukmini.
Very beautiful. Our acharyas. Amazing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says,
Umarama Satya Shachi Chandra Rukmini Radha Avatar Sabe Amanayavani.
Who are all these big, big goddesses? Uma, Parvati, Rama, Lakshmi, Satya, Shachi, all these heavenly damsels.
Uma, Rama, Satya, Satya, Chandra, Rukmini. All these are the expansions of Krishna.
Just like we have expansions of Krishna.
Tumi Sarveshwareshwara Prajendra Kumar.
Krishna is the Sarveshwareshwara. He is the fountainhead of all the incarnations. So similarly, Sri Radha, she is the source of all these goddesses. So someone may say, is it not an exaggeration? All these Uma, Rama, Satya, they are all expansions of Krishna. Unfortunately, one of the four sampradaya in South India, one sampradaya, they consider Sri Radha as one of the heavenly damsels, Apsara. And they come in the line of this one of the four sampradayas. Just see, unfortunate condition. They think that Sri Radha is not from the spiritual world. She is from the heavenly planet, one of the damsels.
Jiva Goswami writes, her name, she has hundreds and thousands of names. One of her name is Gandharvika.
Her name is Gandharvika. But that doesn't mean that she is from the heavenly planet. That is, she is the mistress. She is worshipped by all the Gandharvas and Gandharvikas from the heavenly planet. Therefore, one of her name is Gandharvika. So, but she is the eternal energy of Krishna. So, let us try to understand the beauty of Sri Radha. Why all these goddesses are the expansions of Krishna? Our acharyas, Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, even Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, they write in different places, in different scriptures, the beautiful nature of Sri Radha and the beauty of her physical appearance in different scriptures. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita,
Premera paramasar mahabhava jani sei mahabhava rupa Radha Thakurani.
She is the emblem. She is the personification of beauty. And the essence of love of mahabhava is Sri Radha. Rupa Goswami writes that Sri Radha's eternal age is 14 years, 2 months, and 15 days. She never grows beyond that. She is always eternally 14 years, 2 months, and 15 days old or young. What is her complexion? Her complexion is molten gold. Sri Radha wears a different color garments, but Rupa Goswami writes, her favorite dress or favorite color is blue sari. She wears different times, different garments, different colors, but her favorite is blue sari, because that reminds her every moment that bluish boy Krishna. Therefore, her favorite color is blue sari. And sometimes, Rupa Goswami says, sometimes she also plays a red shawl on her hips. So that is her another favorite. And again, Krishna's Kavitas Goswami writes,
Mahabhava Chintamani Radharaswarup.
Aha.
Mahabhava Chintamani Radharaswarup. Lalitadi Sakitar Kaya Viharup.
Seized, her beauty is like a Chintamani jewel. And Lalita and Vishakhan, all the Sakis, they are Kaya Roop or a shadow or expansion of Sri Radha.
And now that we are hearing Radhikashtakam, composed by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he says,
Kunkumakta Kanchanabja Garvahari Gaurabha Pitananchitabja Gandha Kirti Nindi Saurabha. Kirti Nindi Saurabha.
Kunkumakta Kanchanabja. Her splendorous bodily luster defeats the golden lotus flowers. And then Rupa Goswamiji beautifully explains that Sri Radha's bodily complexion is such a effulgent, brilliant, it chastises the lightning. Lightning is very brilliant, very bright, but Sri Radha's complexion chastises the lightning. Sri Radha's complexion chastises even Champaka flower. And she also threatens the gold. Sri Radha's complexion threatens the gold. This is Rupa Goswami's amazing composition. And then he says, Sri Radha's complexion, that beauty or effulgence, it illuminates all the 10 directions. How those 10 directions are illuminated? Because of Sri Radha's, that effulgence, that beauty of Sri Radha's. And then Rupa Goswami writes, Sri Radha's face is more brilliant than thousands of full moon. Her forehead is like a crescent moon. Sri Radha's forehead is like a crescent moon. And she also puts on tilak. Rupa Goswami clearly writes, Sri Radha, every day she puts on tilak. He also gives the color of a tilak. She wears saffron color tilak. And she puts on a bindi exactly in the center of these two eyebrows. Not here or here. She puts a bindi exactly here on the center of the eyebrows. And what is that bindi? Bhaskara himself, sun god, becomes a bindi of Sri Radha. Her eyebrows defeat the bow of a Kamadeva. Her eyebrows are so beautiful, they defeat the bow of a Kamadeva. Her eyes are so beautiful, like lotus petals. Rupa Goswami writes, her eyes are like safari fishes who are just moving, surfing in the ocean. And she wears ointments or a mascara, black mascara around her eyes. What is that black mascara? Rupa Goswami writes, during the new moon night, in English there is no exact words. Like for Purnima, there is only one word, full moon night. And Amosya, new moon night or dark moon night. Only these two words. There are no exact words in English, but still they try to somehow explain what is the concept of spirituality. So Amosya night or a new moon night or dark moon night. So everywhere is only dark. That complete darkness, Sri Radha uses as an ointment, as a mascara. And she has beautiful dots of musk
around our eyebrows. And Rupa Goswami writes, Sri Radha, she wears neck, nose ring.
And he compares that nose ring with?
Rupa Goswami writes, the nose ring of Sri Radha is shining better than the pole star or a north star, Dhruva Tara, pole star. It's more shining than a pole star. And see, Radha's lips are reddish. How reddish, how her lips look like? Amazing. He says, during the sunset, everywhere in the universe, there is a redness or red hue everywhere. Gather all that redness in one place, in a condensed form of that sunset lalima. Sri Radha applies that complete redness on her lips. Rupa Goswami writes that. She applies that complete redness of sunset on her lotus lips. And how her teeth are? Rupa Goswami writes, ripened pomegranate seeds. Ripened pomegranate seeds. The Sri Radha's teeth look like that. And her smile, amazing. When Sri Radha smiles, it appears as if thousands of golden lotuses are blossoming simultaneously. When she smiles, as if thousands of golden lotuses are blossoming simultaneously. Rupa Goswami writes that. And her chin is decorated with a one dot of musk. Here there are beautiful dots, and here is on the chin just one drop or one dot of musk. Her earrings, earrings are swinging all the time, and whenever those earrings while swinging hits on the cheeks of Sri Radha, they produce a beautiful sound vibration, and those sound is far more sweeter than the Gandharva singing in the heavenly planet. Rupa Goswami writes that. And then Rupa Goswami says, Sri Radha's neck is like a conchal which has three lines. Sri Radha's abdomen also has three lines, and her neck is adorned or beautified with a jewel locket. She wears a garland of jasmine flowers, or sometimes she wears a garland of a champaka flower. And Rupa Goswami writes, her vakshasthal, I will not use the English word for this. Vakshasthal is okay. Her vakshasthal appears like two clouds clashing together. And suddenly there is lightning. Because of the two clouds clashing, there is lightning in the sky. So Rupa Goswami writes, compares that. And she wears a blue sari. And then Rupa Goswami writes, her slender waist is beautified by the waist belt which has thousands of small bells. Sri Radha's waist belt has thousands of bells which tinkling a beautiful sound. And her two arms or hands, they defeat the two golden lotuses. And Rupa Goswami writes, when Sri Radha moves her arms or moves her hands, there are bracelets around her wrist, the kangan, which are around her wrist, they start moving. So when the bracelet starts moving, they are so brilliant, their effulgence is so high, even a sun god closes his eyes,
Son God says, oh, this is too brilliant, it's too harsh, you know, shining brilliantly. He closes his eyes.
And then Rupa Goswami writes, Sri Radha's fingers are as delicate as wine or a creeper. And then Rupa Goswami says, she wears urmika rings in her fingers. Now we have to find out what the urmika rings means. She wears urmika rings in her fingers. And Sri Radha, then Rupa Goswami writes, Sri Radha's blackish curly hair enchants the entire universe. Her blackish curly hairs enchants the whole universe. She sometimes encircles her braided hair. Most of the time her hair are braided, nicely, neatly braided. And she encircles her braided hair and the remaining portion hangs behind towards her hips. And then Rupa Goswami says, that beautiful braided blackish hair are decorated with colorful, fragrant flowers. And Rupa Goswami says that black hair or the braided hair from the distance appears like a black snake or a cobra is lurking behind a vine or a creeper of a champaka bird or champaka flower. Because Sri Radha's body is like a champaka flower. And this black braided hair, they look like a serpent hanging to her head. Rupa Goswami writes this. And the next is very beautiful. Sometimes, most of the time her hair are braided, neatly tied. Sometimes her hair are partially tied. Partially tied. Therefore, sometimes the hair covers her shoulder. All is Umarama Satya Shachi Chandra Rukmini. All these goddesses, they are all watching. They are just standing in front of Sri Radha. And her hair are partially tied. And some of her hair are covering her shoulder. And suddenly, Sri Radha, with her delicate hand, pushes those hairs behind her. Pushes those hair. And now Rupa Goswami says, the shoulders of Sri Radha now acquires the pinnacle of beauty. And when Sri Radha pushes her hair back and her shoulders are clearly visible, Uma, Rama, Satya, Shacha, Shachi, Chandra, Rukmini, Parvati, and everyone, even Arundhati, Rupa Goswami writes, Arundhati, who is the wife of Vasishtha Rishi, who is this very famous chaste lady, she also desires, she dreams that I also want a chastity like Sri Radha. So when the Satya Chatra Muslims, they see this beauty of Sri Radha, Rupa Goswami says, they faint, they faint, and they just fall at the lotus feet of Sri Radha. Just imagine the beauty of Sri Radha. And finally, Rupa Goswamiji and all acharyas, they write the glories of Sri Radha's lotus feet so elaborately. Rupa Goswami says, Brahmeshwaradi Sudurha Padaravindam. Brahmeshwaradi Sudurha Padaravindam. Srimat Parag Paramat Bhutavaibhavaya. Sarvarth Sararas Varshi Kripa Drishthe Tasha Namostu
तस्यानमोस्तु वृषभानुभूमहि ने.
Rupa Goswami says, all glories
to the lotus feet of the Vrishabhanu Kanya, Vrishabhanu Suta. The big gods, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Varuna, and all these gods, they are hankering for a pollen of the lotus feet of Sri Radha.
And Rupa Goswami says,
may that Sri Radha, whose lotus feet are adorned with beautiful marks and desired by the demigods in the heavenly planet, be the shelter of my existence. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says,
Radhika Charana Padma Sakala Sreyara Sadma Jatane Jenai Aradhilo.
Radha Padma Ankita Dham Vrindavan Jaranam Tahajena Ashray Karilo.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, those who fail to take the shelter of Sri Radha's lotus feet, they have wasted their life. The Vrindavan Dham, which is beautified by the beautiful lotus footprints of Sri Radha's lotus feet, if those who have not taken shelter of these feet, lotus feet, their life is wasted. And then the next shloka says,
Je dhari lo Radha pad paramajatane se pai lo Krishna pad amulyaratane. And those who cling on to, grab hold these lotus feet of Sri Radha, without fail, Krishna is their property. Because Sri Radha, Krishna is actually Sri Radha's property. And those who take shelter of Sri Radha's lotus feet, they also get that beautiful shelter. Again, Krishna's Gaviraj Goswami writes in Radhikashtakam,
Yakshanardha Krishna Vipram Yoga Santotodita Neka Chainya Chapaladi Bhava Vrinda Modita Bhava Vrinda Modita Dasa Dasturadhika Dasa Dasturadhika. Sri Radha, she cannot bear separation from Krishna even for half of a moment. She is always Krishnamayi. She is always absorbed in Krishna's thoughts. She cannot even tolerate or bear separation from Krishna. That beautiful, the daughter of Vrishabhanu Maharaj, be the shelter of my existence.
He no Radha.
And finally, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this song, he writes the last verse.
He no Radha Paricharya Jakardhan.
If you have got the human form of life, the only goal of your life is to just catch hold the lotus feet of Sri Radha.
He no Radha Paricharya Jakardhan Bhakti Vinodatar Mageya Charana.
So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his whole life's goal is only to serve the divine lotus feet of Sri Radha, and is hankering for those divine lotus feet. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, my dear Sri Radha,
I don't want any big palaces or a wealth which is desired by the worldly people.
I have only one desire. Just give me shelter at Kusuma Sarovar. Whenever there is a need at Radha Kund for service, I will travel from Kusuma Sarovar to Radha Kund, perform that service, come back to Kusuma Sarovar.
This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's final desire. He says, "My dear Sri Radha, it's the only desire. I want to reside at Kusum Sarovar, serve at Radha Kund, come back again." So last final one, beautiful line. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur writes in Vrindavan Mahimamrita. He says, "My dear Krishna, keep my body fit, healthy, till I reach Vrindavan Dham. Please keep especially my legs healthy and fit till I reach Vrindavan Dham. Once I enter in Vrindavan, please cut off my legs." Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur writes, "Please cut off my legs." Of course, this is just to give us that beautiful nectar of Vrindavan Dham, how much we should be attached to. Of course, those who are serving in different places, that is also Vrindavan. But the ultimate desire in our heart should be not any mundane goals or any mundane prosperity or name, fame, prestige, but Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur and all our acharyas, they say our highest goal should be, if not physically, at least mentally, spiritually, on a mind's level and heart's level, we should always reside in Vrindavan Dham. Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Sri Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.